What's the economic fallout from Egypt's coming change in leadership?
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From American Public Media in Los Angeles, good morning. I'm Steve Chiatakis. Now the global perspective, what's happening in business and economics at the intersection of the U.S. and the rest of the world. There are reports Egypt's government is reopening the internet in parts of the country today, if ever so slowly. That's after President Hosni Mubarak announced he would step down from power later this year. Yet the protests continue in many parts of Egypt, including central Cairo, where the BBC's Gavin Lee is with us now. Hi, Gavin.
Hi.
How are businesses reacting to Mr. Mubarak stepping down later this year?
Well, I think just to look outside, let me tell you where I am. I'm overlooking Tahrir Square. And so many people I spoke to in the square, from such a range of jobs, from doctors to lawyers, lecturers, even fishermen, council workers, the people that should be in the office today, they're not in. They're going to take the next few days off. And I think on a minimum level, the frontline disruption to these services will be felt across Cairo, certainly.
We've heard reports, Gavin, that some shipping companies were or still are rerouting ships away from the Suez Canal to avoid possible disruptions. How has shipping, especially of oil supplies, been affected?
Well, I was on the Sinai Peninsula yesterday, and remember, Egypt isn't a huge oil supplier, but what passes through, of course, the Suez is a big business. It was the fear factor yesterday. They were running as normal. We're hearing reports as well that they're starting to slow down. There's problems with oil, and again, it starts to wobble the system. Share prices start to wobble as well, and I think it is the fear factor. I must say, I think that the biggest thing, one of the biggest problems, the lack of the internet. Businesses not being able to book things for tourists, for hotels. I think these things start to become a bigger issue as the days progress.
And we hear, Gavin, the internet is back in Cairo and Alexandria. Are you aware of that?
It's certainly not the case at the part of Cairo that I am at the moment. It possibly is in pockets, and the difficulty is, because we have mobile disruption as well, it's very difficult to find out who is back online and who isn't.
Gavin Lee from the BBC in Cairo this morning. Gavin, thank you.
Take care. Speak soon.
Well, in Australia, leaders are issuing big warnings for a massive cyclone that's about to hit Queensland State in the north. Now, if that area sounds familiar to you, it's because the region was underwater just days ago after torrential rains there. The economic damage could be catastrophic. Brian Redican is chief economist at Macquarie Bank in Sydney. He's with us on the line this morning. Good morning, Brian.
G'day, how are you?
I'm doing well. How are companies there and the government of Australia preparing for this storm?
Over the last 3 or 4 days, businesses have been very busily evacuating their stores, sandbagging them, putting boards over windows and masking tape to try to limit the damage that the storm has done. And indeed, some towns have been completely evacuated because alongside the terrific winds of the hurricane will be extreme flooding as well.
Yeah, the country's been hammered by historic flooding. In light of that, Brian, what kind of resources does Australia have available?
This region is used to cyclones, so there are the available resources in the right area. I suppose it's just the intensity of this storm that has got people alarmed. It probably will be the most intense storm in this region for around about 90 years, and it compares to Hurricane Katrina, of course, which devastated New Orleans.
And I remember Katrina, and I remember at that time insurance companies had a very difficult time because of the immense damage there paying out these claims. Do you think insurance companies are going to have trouble in Australia?
Certainly, they've been hit both by the floods, as you mentioned, over the last month or so, and this will just be another blow to those businesses. Also, a lot of the smaller businesses, the tourism-related businesses, have been doing it quite tough because the Australian dollar has been very expensive. And again, this is just going to provide another body blow for those businesses that had been struggling. And of course, this region is also a major agricultural producer for Australia. So about 90% of Australia's banana crop is based in this region. With this cyclone, there's a very strong likelihood that the entire banana crop will be wiped out.
All right. Brian Redican, chief economist at Macquarie Bank in Sydney. Thank you.
Okay, then. Thank you. Bye.
Let's do the numbers. Global shares are mostly higher right now. Game maker Mattel said today profits last quarter were slightly lower. Wall Street yesterday, the Dow added 148 points to close above 12,000 for the first time in more than 2.5 years. 12,040 to be exact.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by Ally Bank, offering its Raise Your Rate CD as well as online savings account and money market account. Learn more at allybank.com. And by Microsoft, providing comprehensive business solutions for the cloud. You can learn more at microsoft.com/cloud. Sustainability coverage is supported in part by the Candida Fund, furthering values that contribute to a healthy planet.
The Beatles' record label EMI must look longingly back to those strawberry fields of the 1960s, but record profits are now long gone. Today, the debt-laden group has been taken over by Citigroup, and the label could be sold off. From London, here's Marketplace's Stephen Beard.
If there were a top 10 of truly dreadful deals, this might be close to number one. A private equity firm backed by Citi bought EMI for $6.75 billion 3.5 years ago. Today, EMI is worth a fraction of that. Citi's written off most of its loans and the private equity firm's lost all of its investment. They hugely overpaid at a time when record sales were slumping due to illegal downloads. Chris Cook of the CMU music website says that Citi will likely sell off EMI's still lucrative publishing companies.
They own copyrights. They own copyrights in vast numbers of songs and sound recordings. And these copyrights are profitable. They can be turned into cash.
Analysts say Warner Music and the German group BMG could be in the market for what's left of EMI. In London, this is Stephen Beard for Marketplace.
And finally, in addition to being Groundhog Day, today is also National Signing Day, when star high school athletes sign with the universities of their choice for a meaty scholarship. Well, for non-fans, Signing Day is the first day players can commit to a school by actually signing something. But in this age of the internet, fans want to get in on the action immediately. So webcams are set up from Crimson Tide Country in Tuscaloosa to UW, the University of Washington in Seattle, pointing to a fax machine. Good luck reading that on your computer screen. I'm Steve Chiotakis in Los Angeles. This is the Marketplace Morning Report.
American Public Media.
Despite steady economic growth, Bulgarians are just unhappy people.
Bulgaria is a reasonably developed country, so you would expect it to be very happy. But Bulgaria is sad relative to its income.
I'm Kai Rizdal. What do you suppose is making Bulgarians blue anyhow? That story and the rest of the day's business news next time on Marketplace from American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.